أنا اللي كنت في الضوء اللي تنحاس والتوب اللي لبسته وعراني دبر على الناس وحتى تبدل عقلي بهبالي gris aïe de Paris, aussi meurde que mon âme me fait languir. Semchaté au Bahari, en moi renaît cette flamme du souvenir. Chante, chante ma guitare, René, René, enlève les billets. Allez, mon âme s'égare et mon cœur sombre dans l'ennui. Le chemin qui me sépare tout à coup se raccourcit quand le chant de ma guitare vient me parler de l'Algérie.
عطر ورد وياسمين، غني وفرح يا قلب داوي جرح السنين، جاني مرسال الحب عطر ورد وياسمين، غني وفرح يا قلب داوي جرح السنين. والليلة الليلة 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 اتهني الليلة يا عين، اتهني الليلة يا عين. محلى المكتوب وناداني بالمحبوب، فحبه انا ده يبدو عنه ما اقدرش اتوب، جاني ومحلى المكتوب وناداني بالمحبوب، فحبه انا ده يبدو عنه ما اقدرش اتوب. والليله الليله الليله الليلة الليلة اتهني الليلة يا عين، اتهني الليلة يا عين. نساني اي خصام في بعض، انا شفت ايام اتمنى عيني تنام، جاني بحلو الكلام نساني اي خصام في بعض، انا شفت ايام اتمنى عيني تنام. والليلة الليلة 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 اتهني الليلة يا عين، اتهني الليلة يا والناس أما مني لا تجعلني يا بغيبي
geil.
Original
rubber dub style.
And it goes like this.
I hear you saying often that you're not turned on to politics. But let me bring to bear the lessons of history. If you're not turned on to politics, the lesson of history is that politics will turn on you. So, let's start the countdown. Those who are excessively greedy and excessively powerful must give up their privileges. They must give up some of their power. Big business has been colliding with American democracy. American democracy has been losing. We can have a democratic society. Political campaigns began paying attention to controlling what we are. We'd have our own radio station, our own television station, our own cable channel. It is time for a change. The system is not working. Now, look at your late evening news, if you can bear it. Look at it. It's 30 minutes. 9 minutes of ads, 3 minutes of street crime right at the beginning, never corporate crime, very superficially covered, 1 minute of impromptu chit-chat between the anchors, 4 minutes of weather, 4 minutes of sports, and that's what happened in your town tonight? And we own the public airways. It's a disgrace.
The channel has been liberated. By the Rota News Network.
By the way, by now you know I'm not using the teleprompter.
Hear ye, hear ye. Put down your crack pipes and get up here. Well, what can we say about the past couple days, besides the people have spoken? Law and order broke down among the police department today. So now that I hear people are being pepper sprayed inside of buses, yeah, they did overreact today. I mean, way less protesters, way more arrests. On Channel 7 clearly had footage of them pepper spraying people who were shopping or trying to get home from work for the office. Some of it maybe was because they had so many other cops from other departments. It was that old who's on first, who's on second. Oh, I don't know. I think I'll just fuck some people up. Spray, 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 spray.
Just as global crises are trumpeted as reasons to centralize government power, the media also manipulates local events to serve that goal as well. Street demonstrators turn the area of the World Trade Organization conference into a war zone. Over 500 National Guardsmen and state police are called in to help restore order in what became known as the Battle of Seattle. For those who orchestrate these events, it's the illusion that counts.
I'm going to focus on what the other side says and what you say back.
The media-appointed spokesperson for the anti-WTO forces is Lori Wallach. She heads up Global Trade Watch. Ignored by the media is the fact that Wallach's organization receives funding from the Ford Foundation, which is closely tied to the CFR. The friendly relationship between Wallach and the CFR agenda was made clear in Foreign Policy magazine, a major conduit for CFR thinking. This issue signals media leaders that Lori Wallach should be represented as an expert on trade issues. By ensuring that only false opposition is offered to its revolutionary agenda, the CFR internationalists can't lose. Up next, discover how support the world government is generated as we examine some of the biggest stories in recent decades. The disturbing truth begins behind the big news.
Because, I mean, I have one aim. Hey, my aim is bring this tape inside. Because there is a lot of interviews to the people that they want to say something to them. And so I'm a kind of messengers. And so my aim is bring this tape inside the meeting. Because I think that it's time that they have...
In the ancient town of Genoa, Italian media tycoon cum prime minister, Silvio Berlusconi, hosted a gathering of the eight leaders of the most powerful industrial democracies in the world. To ensure their voices were heard, over 200,000 people traveled to Genoa to highlight the increasing role corporations were having in the running of their country.
To the Global Civil Society, to the Italian Defense Committee, Chief of Staff, to the Italian Government, the Prime Minister, the President of the Republic of Italy, to the U.S. Army Chief of Staff, American Embassy in Rome, to the CIA Office, SISDE Headquarters. We learn from the Italian media that in a meeting held in Rome on May the 24th, the Italia and the U.S. government have decided to declare war to the multitude of brothers and sisters that will gather in Genoa against the G8 meeting scheduled for July. your choice to deploy your armies and special forces against humanity takes you closer to your allies in the global south, where every day they kill, starve, and persecute those who don't accept the neoliberal exploitation. All over the planet, your soldiers use guns against the ideas and the dreams about a different world, a world that would include other worlds. In your Genoa meeting, too, you want to impose a world that is exclusive, a world where the only ideology is that of money, profit, market, goods and body. Your world is an empire. You are the emperor, and billions of people are simply your subjects. From the outskirts of this empire, from the several worlds that resist and grow dreaming of a better life for all, today we, rebel subjects, formally declare war on you. This is a choice that you made because we do prefer peace, and this decision will mean defying your arrogance and your power, but we have to do it. It is our duty to try to stop you in order to end injustice. It is our duty to give voice to our brothers and sisters of the world who are suffering because of you. It is our duty not to surrender to the fear of your armies and to raise our heads. It is our duty because we declare war only when we are obliged to do so.
Security forces are also prepared for violence, watching every corner of the city from the high-tech command center. There are checkpoints at the barricades, scrutinizing everyone going into the summit, and if the groups of anarchists who are plotting a violent attack manage to break through, the police have 5,000 reinforcements brought in from Rome.
But there are cameras that have been placed around the city, and the person with the right to that footage is Berlusconi.
Okay, yes.
So if international media want to get footage of him, they have to pay him for this footage. So he's making money.
Sì, ho capito, è una bad situation, no?
As the streets shook the sounds of dissent, the first Italian independent media center was established to report on the G8 meeting.
There was plenty of computers, telephone lines, mobile phones, and then different sort of equipment, and people were broadcasting.
The protests became international news when police shot dead one demonstrator.
Decision of the G8 January Summit. In the letter, we drew the Italian government's attention to a number of human rights violations which have been reported from demonstrations taking place in Italy in the weeks and months preceding the G8 Genoa, and also to human rights violations by law enforcement officers, which had emerged from a number of other demonstrations which had taken place in other European states and outside Europe as well. Given that, we were asking the Italian government to ensure that any officers taking part in the G8 policing operation would exercise maximum restraint in their treatment of demonstrators, and also that they would ensure that they were aware of and acted at all times in accordance with the relevant international human rights and standards. Now, we listed those standards in the letter to the Italian government. Those would be the right of freedom of assembly, the right of freedom of expression, the right to be free of arbitrary arrest and detention, international standards on the use of force and firearms by law enforcement officers, the rights of the fundamental rights of people deprived of their liberty, and the right not to be subjected to torture and cruel and inhuman and degrading treatment, the right to have your relatives informed of your whereabouts or a third party, the right of foreign nationals to have prompt access to consular officials, the right to prompt access to a legal counsel of their choice, the right to prompt and adequate medical care, the right to be informed of your rights, of any charges against you and in a language you understand, the right to humane conditions of detention. Well, unfortunately, as I said, these are the rights we asked the Italian government to respect before G8. When we wrote again after the G8 Genoa, we had to point out that Amnesty had received numerous reports of the violations of all these rights. We wrote at the end of July, and we're still waiting for a reply to that letter.
Just after midnight, police raided the Independent Media Centre and the shooting area opposite.
But the subsequent assault on the headquarters of the peaceful coordinators of the peaceful protest by the Italian police was an absolute disgrace. There is no disputing that the Italian government is attempting to distance itself from it. Everybody is pretending it's somebody else's responsibility.
When police finally left, blood stained the walls and floors. Cameras were smashed and computers lay destroyed, their hard drives ripped out. Dozens of people were hospitalized. None of the TV channels owned by the Italian premier reported the brutal attack.
Establishment media employs many deceptions to support the drive for global power.
Tonight, let's say something absolutely outrageous. There will be very little of the news about this whole issue. And what there is will be probably dictated in a very, very small time frame. And yet, the issues that you're debating here, and the kinds of issues that he raised just a moment or two ago, absolutely vital for the whole future of humankind. And it's a debate I think the public, if it were allowed to, would be far more interested in discussing that and coming to terms with that debate and engaging in it.
Globalization campaigners echo Tony Blair's belief that the media is failing to report important issues. Possibly the strongest challenge to the media monopoly is emerging from a rapidly growing network of volunteer-run independent media centres. Globalisation of trade is expanding rapidly, but many are left wondering if the media are offering a clear analysis of the critical voices.
somebody burns a flag, for instance, that's what you see in the front of the paper, in the front page. But you don't see these 250,000 people peacefully protesting.
Pretty much usually one-sided and misrepresent what's really going on.
In this program, we explore the impact which new technology is having on the role of the traditional news gatherer. Is the growing use of camcorders offering the public a truer picture of world events?
In the United States, surveys have shown as many as 70% of the people, viewers, are unhappy with television. When they're actually asked about it, they say, it sucks. Okay. The same thing is true within the media itself. As many as 70% of the journalists who work inside media are unhappy with the product of many media companies. So you have a great deal of dissatisfaction and searching for alternatives.
The mainstream news media.
And the two planes collide.
Horrific or dramatic events alone create strong emotional responses. Add to that sweeping statements that stir public fear.
The news can't stop it.
Reports of war, nuclear threats, natural disasters, scandals, and murders often fill the daily news for reasons other than to inform. Preying upon fears viewers have concerning death and destruction is so frequently practiced by major news that most viewers are desensitized to the actual intent of the reports themselves.
Good evening. There are new and dire predictions tonight about the future of our planet. Around the world, glaciers are in full retreat. Some, like the ancient ice cap on Mount Kilimanjaro in Africa, could be gone in a decade or two. It's a dramatic symptom of the warming of the Earth, detailed in a new 1,000-page United Nations report, Climate Change 2001. It predicts the new century will bring, and I quote, large-scale and possibly irreversible changes affecting every last person on Earth.
Today's population has already set off an environmental spiral, depleting the world's forests and contributing to overfishing and overgrazing. Soil is being eroded, which in turn is hurting crop production, leading to starvation.
This is punishment, say scientists, for sins of the past. The end result of years of pollution, wildfires year-round in California. That 500-year flood that devastated Grand Forks, North Dakota, occurring every 5 years. Greenhouse gases that stay in the atmosphere 100 years after their release. It is a doomsday scenario detailed in a report sponsored by the United Nations.
Sweltering summers, rising sea levels, more droughts, more violent storms. Global warming is real, the new report declares, and humans are helping to cause it.
Today, more than any time in the last 50 years, we are closer to a global economic consensus.
Globalization is probably one of the greatest things to happen in human history when you think about it properly.
In our world, one world. In our world, one world. In our world, one world.
Hey,
share a view and we share a dream and a vision of a world that is very different from the world that we live in today. I'm not afraid of globalization. The task that we have at hand is to change globalization, to make it just, to make it globalization that does not give weapons against other workers, that does not destroy the environment, that does not end up deciding who lives and who dies. Globalization that serves human needs and that does not make people, the environment, and other kinds of resources, goods and services to be traded.
Oh yeah, that's the World Bank. The World Bank. I do think that the unions are starting to look at this from a global standpoint. I think it's just a matter of time here before, once they see, you know, the lack of democracy in this situation here in our nation's capital, that they will act. And I hope they call for a general strike myself.
We're really building a movement here, and this is our political moment, and we're telling the world that we know what they're doing, what they're meaning about, what kinds of decisions they're making that are affecting our people, and that we're just not going to make it anymore.
It's the bad things that are being globalized, like inequality, like environmental injustice. And so what we are trying to do is, we're globalizers as well, but we're globalizing our resistance to capital.
Suddenly the world is hearing a different voice and saying, the young people of this country do not want to participate in this. They are rejecting that system of privilege creation and saying, we want a different world based on justice. We want a different world based on equality. We want a different world that uses the scarce resources of this earth with respect and sustainability. And to me, the most touching part of what is happening right now is the young people of America have voted against American imperialism, American consumerism, which is what globalization is all about.
We've already succeeded. Whether or not that meeting goes on or not, people in middle America, people across this country are going to, what is the IMF? Why are these people out here acting a fool? They're going to start to look and they're going to start to ask questions and wonder about it. And the fact that this has been brought up at all is a success.
Not about a group of people trying to lock arms and just keep those people out, but we're seeing all the attacks in every area of our lives. Guess what? We know that we need to resist, but more than that, we need to win. We've been resisting a long time. We're battling now to win.
The elite class was sort of panicking, you know, after Seattle especially. So they sort of were looking for the reason. And the only name you can point at was John Selvan.
If you're looking for a mind behind the movement, it's definitely John Pearson. He has written this one book basically thinks that in order to save the world, we have to go back to Stone Age. And the way to get there is to destroy the industries and everything.
I find it kind of curious or strange that I've been called the architect of the tactic of property damage or the black bloc kind of activity, that certainly isn't true.
Susan lives a very, very modest life. And for example, for a long time, his only income, he was making money by giving his own blood.
We're trying to encourage the questioning. Just the questioning.
Have a duty not only to share our wealth, but also to encourage sources that produce wealth.
Yeah! Why do people go out there and try to protest or try to, you know, do something? That isn't mindless violence. The mindlessness is sitting there doing dope, watching MTV, and then you go and get a job and you just schlep along, and that's, to me, that's violent. Targeted property damage or property destruction is necessary. It does break out of the confines of the politics as usual. What do you achieve by holding a sign, doing the protest as usual stuff? I've seen decades of it. It doesn't do anything. People pay no attention. Why should they pay any attention? It's not worthy of attention. But when people fight, that is something. It does grab the attention, and it should, because it's real stuff. It isn't just a symbolic game of, oh, it makes me feel good, I have my sign and stuff. Well, I don't care about that. If it was valid, if it was not ineffective, much better. I would much rather have a nice, polite, peaceful, nobody is put in danger, nobody gets hurt, no one gets arrested, nobody gets hit in the head by a cop, and not even a window is broken. Ideal. Except it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way.
get back their own culture again. You will have a new set of values. There will be a big paradigm shift, a big global mind shift, where people will suddenly say, I don't want a fancy car. Where people will suddenly say, I don't want another Big Mac. Where people will suddenly say, I don't want to wear any diesel jeans. Where people will suddenly say, I want to have a simple, fulfilling life. Where people will suddenly say, I want to have a simple, fulfilling life.
I want something else.
The simple, fulfilling life.
Yeah! It is a new world. This is followed by the emergence of the border of the human man, such as the works of art and also the works of science. I think the scientists, however skeptical, are bound to admit that the universe or nature or whatever we may call it is created. Where it has produced creative men, it has produced Shakespeare like Angelo and Mozart, and just indirectly their work.
There is an indefinable, mysterious power that pervades everything. I feel it, though I do not see it. I can see that in the midst of death, life persists. In the midst of untruth, truth persists. In the midst of darkness, light persists. Things I gather have gone with life, truth, light. He is love.